Welcome to the Coventry and Warwickshire Green Business Programme podcast. Subscribe now for more episodes. Welcome to the latest edition of the Green Business Podcast. I'm Jonathan Howell, Energy Advisor at Coventry City Council, and I'll be hosting today's session. Now, regular listeners will know that in the main, we bring you details on our decarbonisation net zero programme. And as you probably know, that focuses on benefits to businesses of reducing their energy use and also shows you how to access grant funding for those projects that drive down that drop in energy consumption. Now, the last few episodes we've done have been a little bit different in that we've looked at other topical and interesting subjects from the wider world of sustainability. We've discussed such varied subjects as mining and the green energy revolution, and also innovative ways of combating water scarcity. So if those topics sound of interest, they're on our platform. Go back, have a listen, and see what you think. But in this episode, we're going to continue with the innovative theme. And we're going to bring you details on something that most of us have seen, most of us are aware of. So we're going to go through today's session on drones. Now, those regular listeners may remember that we've already discussed this topic back in April 2022, when we had an airport temporarily built in Coventry. So this episode will build on that and look at some key points, which are how drones operate and at what scale, what sectors and applications they can be used for. And probably most importantly, for the context of us and our audience, we're looking at the sustainability and efficiency behind them, how they can increase efficiency, how they can reduce carbon emissions, and how they can reduce costs. So to help with today's session, I am pleased to introduce our guest to the platform, Elliot Parnham from Skyfarer. Welcome, Elliot.
Hi, Jonathan. Good to be here.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining. So just to kick off then, Elliot, if you don't mind, for our very first question, can you tell us a bit more about yourself and your role at Skyfarer, please?
Of course, yeah. So I'm the CEO and founder of Skyfarer. I have a background in engineering. I'm an engineering person generally. That's how my brain works. I think it's helped me and also not helped me in the role, to be honest, over the past 7 years. But I guess more though helped. I did aerospace engineering at Coventry University, which was a fantastic growth point for me into adulthood, I guess, and into realizing what I want to do. And then I went on to do astronautics and space engineering while starting up the business back in 2017 now, which is when I started the business, which seems like a lifetime ago, to be honest.
Doesn't time fly? Thank you. So back to the actual business then itself. I see you're a local business, which is brilliant for us in terms of this podcast. Tell us a bit more about Skyfarer then. What you're about and what you do, please.
Of course. So Skyfarer was set up fundamentally to look at how can we use this amazing drone technology to benefit society. And there's a long back history as to why I wanted to do that. But really, it's all about doing something that provides fulfillment to the people that work in it and the people that use it. And at the point when I started the business, there was an understanding that drones existed and that they're used in the military. And that's it. You can use some toys as well to fly around and take pictures at the time. But there was no real use day to day in terms of drones benefiting society for healthcare delivery or doing inspections and things like that of real critical infrastructure. So that's really why the business was set up in the first place. And we focus now on operations, so filling the gap to scale. And a lot of people don't know this, but drones have been around for a heck of a long time. 1917 was the first drone as a term, called the aerial target. And it was a target for the military to practice with, but it was a drone. So even since the dawn of flights, we have been making drones. There's been amazing drones over the past over 100 years now, but no one's really been able to solve the scalability problem of this technology, which is really, I think, why it was created in the first place. It's all about automating the skies to provide some positive impact. And that's really where we sit. We sit in going from using this amazing technology in trials to actually using it day to day in beneficial ways. So we've done a lot in medical delivery and pioneering what you can do in what we call beyond visual line of sight operations with drones to do logistics and looking at things like pathology, tissue, implant delivery. We're now looking into radiopharmaceutical delivery with medical logistics as well with the NHS. We've also done things around inspection and modeling and surveying as well over longer ranges. working with local authorities and other organisations. We're a part of the Superhighway project in the UK, which is a Future Flight Challenge project with Altitude Angel and some other partners to create a highway in the sky from the Coventry area down to Southampton. That's hopefully going to unlock long-range capability to unlock drones day-to-day doing logistics and other types of operations. So if I was going to put us into a category, I would say we are an operator, but we're an operator that's focusing on how do we use this amazing technology day-to-day in multiple industries at a large scale that can benefit society. And that's where we are.
Got it. Understood. Thank you for your, that's a very comprehensive answer. So thank you first and foremost. So just though to bring it back to the kit itself, if you were, just to give our listeners an idea of what we're looking at. When we say drone, I tend to think one of the little tiny drones that you see over the park with some children operating it. What kind of drones are out there though? Are they big drones, small drones? Just give us an idea of, or a flavor really, of what kit you tend to work with, if that's possible.
I think familiarity on what a drone is has increased over the past few years. We've done a lot of work on public perception, and that's increased in positivity as well, which is fantastic. But it mostly is based on what we call the multi-rotor or the quadcopter drone. You know, it's a vertical takeoff, small kind of drone. There are some big manufacturers out there putting them on the shelves, and it's quite accessible now for people to go out and buy this type of technology, which is fantastic. But not many people know about the breadths of unmanned aerial systems, UAS or drone. It goes from sort of the tiny drones that you would see doing swarm type flights, you know, the light shows that you might have seen in events and things like that, all the way up to massive sort of 4-ton aircraft that are just about the size of a Cessna that can carry about a 1.5 ton payload over long distances, several hundred nautical miles. And you've got things in between that as well. You know, we're working in medical logistics in the middle mile with a drone called the Orca, aptly named because it kind of looks like an orca, and I guess that's the idea. And that's with a company called Phoenix Wings in Germany. And we've used that aircraft in the UK with University Hospitals Coventry and Warwickshire Trust to connect the two hospitals of Coventry and Rugby, moving implants and also some other medical items as well. And that has a payload of about 15 kilograms, a wingspan of 3 meters. It's a sizable aircraft if you get right up close to it. But surprisingly, if you look up in the sky at 400 feet, you generally don't notice it's there unless you're looking for it, which is another interesting point in public perception, is that we want to be able to operate this type of technology without really interfering with day-to-day life or causing any issues in that way. So that's something that we kind of put to the test, and we validated that, you know, drones can be doing medical delivery without much interruption, really, for the public.
Yeah, I did see, that was a good article I actually read before we spoke today. I did see the link between, was it Rugby Hospital and Coventry Hospital as well? So let's expand on that, because I think it's really interesting. So I've got a couple of questions on that. First of all, how many sort of times a day do you fly back and forth? Is that demand dependent? And secondly, probably a wider picture or a wider question, what rules do you have to adhere to allow you to fly over that corridor? Are there any sort of restrictions, civil aviation authority restrictions, maybe, that you need to sort of adhere to out of interest?
Yeah, so just to be clear, that's not something that we do day in, day out at the moment. Okay. It was something that we did for a period of about 4 months. Yes. And it took us actually 2 years to get all of the approvals to be able to do that. Yeah. So it was a significant challenge, but we brought that on ourselves. What we did at the start was say, what are people not doing in this industry? How do we advance it forward and get this moving? And we said, well, no one's really flying over more populated areas in the heart of England. They're not doing it at nighttime. They're not doing it in winter months, and they're not doing it close to congested airspace. So we said, why don't we just do all of that at once? And that's why it took us 2 years, but we were able to accelerate, you know, showing what's possible with drones and showing them that they're not just a summertime toy. It's an all year round technology and all 24 hour in the day capability. And it's not just for flying over the water to some islands. It's something that we can use in the heart of a nation to provide some positive impact. At the time, we did about, I'd say, close to 200 flights in that period.
Wow.
And in BV Loss, Beyond Visual Line of Sight, range. That's equivalent to flying from London to North Africa. That's the range that we covered connecting Coventry and Rugby from our hub just outside Rugby in a hub and spoke type network. But in terms of the rules, you know, we had to do what we call a change of airspace to be able to do that. And we had to interact with many different stakeholders, from aviation stakeholders to ground, land-based stakeholders, local authorities. We had to get their interaction and their feedback on the operations that we were planning. We had to interact with the police, the military, the air ambulance, understand procedures with them and how can we mitigate any risks. Interact with general aviation. We had to look at other things like Ofcom licensing. The list kind of goes on. It wasn't a simple exercise, but the whole point was this has never been done before. So there's going to be lots of unknown unknowns. How do we make those known knowns so that we can do it repeatedly in the future? And that needed investment of time and money and partnership. And, you know, we're thankful that we were able to achieve that after 2 years of pushing it. And it was a massive achievement. And we kind of using that now to leverage into why don't we make this a day-to-day occurrence for the West Midlands actually as a whole for the NHS and get this to be the point where we really kick off the use of drone technology for medical delivery and hopefully go towards potentially saving lives, but definitely helping healthcare in the UK.
All right, good stuff. So you've effectively jumped through all of your hoops, as it were, and now you're able to, when you're ready, scale it up to something that's going to help the wider sort of population. By the sounds of it, is that about right?
That's it, yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I set the business up in the first place was to, you know, use drones for positive impacts. And that's one area to do it.
Good stuff. Before we jump on, I just want to just go back to other applications, if that's possible. Now, you alluded to a few of these in one of your earlier answers. And I've looked back on this myself before we sat down to record this, and I've got a couple of other things that I know this can be used for. So last mile delivery was something that we promoted a lot within our urban airport a couple of years ago. So there was last mile delivery. And I'd imagine there's other applications such as inspections and monitoring and those kind of things. Let's just look at one of those, the last mile delivery, which interests me. Have you got any sort of background or any work you've done on that perhaps, where this can really improve that typically built up urban delivery of packages, for example? And we've all seen the Amazon promotion that they put on various social media over the years of drones coming and going. Is that science fiction or is that something that will come into play at some point soon, do you think?
I think if we look at the technological element of this, what technology is required to do last mile delivery, predominantly it's all there, it all exists. And that's generally the case in our industry. The tech is there and it's not usually the problem. What is generally the challenge is the regulation. It's all about safety and mitigating risk. That's air risk and ground risk. And within a city environment, you know, if you're flying close to buildings, you are, in a way, mitigating that air risk because you're not going to get a helicopter fly within 10 meters of a building, for example, are you? So that kind of takes that off. But then you've fully accelerated your ground risk because you're immediately flying over a lot of people. So you need to look at, well, if something happens, how do you mitigate failure and how do you mitigate any issues from that failure as well? And that's where we start to look into the technology and its failure rates and its redundancy and start to prove that. So it's all about data and proof, and it does come down to numbers. In the UK, our regulation at the moment is somewhat subjective, and that's because we're still trying to figure out what are the specific levels that we need to be assured that not bad things will happen. In Europe, we do have levels like that, but it's not quite yet breached over to the UK. The CAA are working on bringing that over. That may come the end of this year, may come into next year, which we're hopeful for. And that will hopefully remove some of this subjectivity and give us some more guidance on what needs to be achieved. So I guess to answer your question directly, it is wholly possible to do last mile delivery. The challenge is in the compliance to do it. And it's also in the business model to do it. Can we make it cost effective to do last mile delivery? And, you know, the likes of Amazon, if we look over to the States, there's a lot of organizations working on last mile delivery like Amazon and the Google Wing projects and Matternet. And they've been able to get type certification, which means the regulatory authority over there have said, we agree that you have a failure rate that is acceptable to fly over these types of environments. So we will let you do it. We haven't quite got there yet, but I think we can look to the States to learn from that and bring it to the UK at the right time.
Okay, good answer. And that perhaps leads me into my next question, actually, about, let me put a bit of context for you. In our program, we're all about carbon reduction. So we're always looking out there in the Coventry and Warwickshire area, how can we reduce carbon that's built into energy systems and so on? Has anybody looked at the potential carbon reductions for example, last mile delivery, doing it by a drone rather than by truck? Is that because obviously we know that's going to have less carbon impact, less pollution. Is that something that the industry that you're involved in is keen on? Is that pushing the agenda, or is that basically like a nice add-on to what the bigger picture is, if you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I mean, we've done a substantial amount of work on this, not on the last mile, because we haven't attached ourselves to the last mile. Yeah. We've attached ourselves to what we call the middle mile. And that's because we think we can get the biggest benefits in the supply chain in terms of reducing time, reducing cost, and also bringing in more efficiency. Because instead of comparing against mopeds or bicycles in an urban environment, you're comparing against vans generally. And in the work that we did within Coventry, we did some comparative studies to say, if we're moving pathology samples, say, from Rugby to Coventry, which is where the lab is, that's currently being done by a van. And generally, the van picks up in the morning and in the evening, and it bulks all of those samples together to take it into the lab. That causes one problem in that it inundates the lab with lots of samples to process very quickly before they go off, for lack of a better term. Yeah. And even comparing to that example, drones compared to an electric van could save 92% of carbon emissions doing that type of use case. And it comes down to the simple fact that the drone obviously is electric, just like the electric van, but it's more suitable for the use case in that van is not full. Even if it's got a lot of samples in, it's not full. So you're not using the full capacity of the van and the electricity that's in it. Whereas in a drone, it's more suitably sized to do frequent deliveries of pathology. And even then, you're saving CO2 emissions.
Good answer. And I like the 92% figure you flagged as well there. So I've written that down for future reference. Thank you. Just moving on then away from the internals behind it, let's just suggest I was a business and I was looking to get involved in using your services to transport my goods or get involved in your specialist services in the medical sphere, for example. What sort of challenges would I face getting out to market effectively, to engaging with you and getting it moved further?
So what the process that we go through with this, it starts with discovery. So it's understanding, what does your current supply chain look like? What are your requirements? And how can drones fit into that? What is the best drone for the job? What kind of routing? What are the compliance issues that we might see within that operation? And then we kind of draft out a bit of a roadmap and a proof of concept to validate some of the KPIs that we come up with, essentially. At the moment, we're not pushing to, say, have medical delivery in the UK as business as usual, as a commercial business as usual. And that's because the UK as a regulatory framework isn't quite ready for that. We're on the cusp of that. And that's why we're pushing to prove capability and prove how it's going to work. And that's why Skyway exists, the superhighway in the sky, the project exists to unlock all of that. So we're having conversations now about how do businesses best use drones and what best drones can we use for that to then set us up ahead of time so that we can just hit go and start using drones once we've been able to unlock some of the regulation from that perspective.
Okay, thank you. So just that moves me into our last question then. Where do you see this going? What's the future potential for drone technology? Just to caveat that, when we were looking at the urban airport a few years ago, as I've mentioned earlier, it was transportation of people, basically. So would you say that's the ultimate goal for what you're looking to do, or are there more things that we perhaps haven't even considered yet, in your opinion?
I think there's a hype around the transportation of people, to be honest, and I can understand why there is a hype around that. I do think it's got a longer timelines than we generally think, and I do think that drone operations, i.e. without people, unmanned, will be first. And things like medical delivery are almost obvious because it's high value and it's time sensitive. And if you can have an autonomous drone moving these things, it's a lot less risky. And it's going to save time and save cost. And that's an element of the proof right now. But also, change doesn't happen unless you've got advocates of change. So we can't just hope for this and say, oh, it's going to happen one day and do nothing about it. We need to be pushing as an industry and as end users to say, we want this and we want it to do this for us. Let's push and try it. And also push to the DFT, to the government, to say, we need to change policy to allow this to happen because it's going to give us these fantastic benefits. And one such use case that we're working on at the moment is nuclear medicine or radiopharmaceuticals. There's some resilience challenges in the UK and moving these items so that you can go and get a PET scan and, you know, diagnose any issues. You know, breast cancer or prostate cancer, even Alzheimer's, can be diagnosed from these types of scans where you need radiopharmaceutical to be able to use the scan. And there's new radiopharmaceutical isotopes that are coming out now that have shorter half-lives and they need to be moved very quickly, and a drone is perfect for that. So I think drones will unlock new use cases that we maybe haven't thought about in medical logistics specifically, and also start to help us with managing our infrastructure. So our rails, our highways, our power lines, and lots of different things, linear infrastructure and fixed infrastructure, we can start using automation to manage all of that in a more cost-effective and time-effective way. And we do that by unlocking beyond visual line of sight and looking at how drones can be implemented into that. So I don't just see one path of a drone's going to do this one thing, it's going to be amazing. I think there's going to be an ecosystem of drone activity. It's going to interact and integrate with different modes of transportation. So it's not to say that because we have drones, we don't need cars or vans. We're definitely going to need different modes. This is just a new capability that we're bringing in to do new things and give us more efficiency. And with that, I can see an ecosystem of activity from medical logistics day to day to conventional distribution and logistics and all the way on to inspection and modeling and surveying to help different industries within a nation.
Okay, that's a perfect answer. Thank you very much. And that's our last question, you'd be pleased to know. So first of all, thanks for that answer and thanks for giving up your time today. And from all of us here, can I just wish you and your business all the best for the future? You sound like you've got some really interesting things going on, and the best of success to you. So thanks for joining. Finally, from me, just a quick run through of the Decarbonisation Net Zero Programme again. Just to confirm, as I said earlier on today, we are here to help you reduce your business's energy use and become more sustainable. So to help with that, we offer free energy audits and have grant funding available to support energy reduction projects. Now, if that sounds of interest, the link to register is in the podcast description. And also, if you're looking for details on Elliot's company, which was Skyfarer, links to his business are in the podcast description as well. I'm Jonathan Howell. Thanks for listening.